at verse 14. I think I finished verse 14. So I'm going to go back and read 13 and 14 as a reminder, because it sets the stage for the rest of the verses of this chapter. Brethren, this is chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, you've been so good to us. You have richly blessed us. Lord, we have been given such gifts, even eternal gifts. We thank you for what we have. We thank you for the word that we have in our hands. And Lord, the confidence we have in your word. I ask you, Lord, to take your word and bless it to every heart that's in this room or that hears this message. I pray you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I pray you'd touch hearts and lives. Have your way in each of us today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. I really am clogged up. So I hope I can speak without choking and not be too much of a bother to you. I know it grates on some of your ears to listen to me like that or listen to me clear my voice. But I've been having to do it ever since I was born, because I was born allergic to everything around me, probably my mother's milk. I'm still allergic to all the food I eat and bacteria in my own body. I finally just gave up on the shots. You used to give me two in each arm every 4 days, and I said, forget it. Didn't help me. There's always something else I was allergic to, so you just learn to live with it. Excuse me, though. I do apologize. What a goal. It would help your life if you would learn to forget the things that were behind and reach to the things before. Now, that's almost impossible in certain cases, because things hit us so hard or get to our feelings, get to our mind, and we will lay awake at nights, we'll dream about, we'll get up sweating, thinking about certain things that bother us. Now, it might be as simple as a driving incident or accident, or it might be something very, very big as something terrible in your family, but it's hard to forget the things that are behind. I'm thankful that God can. You know what he says to us? He says he's forgotten our sins. If you confess them to the Lord, he has forgotten them. Now, if you husbands and wives would do a little forgetting on things that have been confessed, you would be a lot better off. Amen? Forgetting those things which are behind. I mean, you know, don't drag them back after 10 years. I remember when. The last time you did that, you know, that can get you in all sorts of trouble. He said, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. One thing I do. I'd say if you were going to do one thing, that'd be a pretty good thing to do. If you were going to aim, and, you know, sometimes we make too many goals for ourselves. We have just too wide a spectrum. January 1st, we make all these propositions. We're going to lose weight. We're going to get in shape. We're going to read our Bible. We're going to save money. We're going to paint the house and mow the lawn. And by January the 3rd, we've broken most of them. You know, he said one thing, this one thing I do, and it's great. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, his goals are not similar to ours in many ways. I think many of our goals are for our own comfort or our own wealth. We want to be healthy or we want to be wealthy. And so many of the goals that we have, whether it's joining this or joining that or buying this or buying that, is towards those goals. Look at what he's doing. Reaching forth unto those things which are before, he's talking about spiritual things. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what this man has done? He's sitting in a jail cell, maybe 60 years old. Excuse me. And he said, you know what? I want to get higher up with the Lord. I want a better spiritual walk. I want to be able to give more money. I want to be able to preach better. I want to be able to witness to more people. Amen. There's some spiritual things I want. Man, does that sound like the modern church? Doesn't to me. It doesn't sound like us, does it? Are we all that spiritual? No. Most of us have a hard time making it to the meeting. Most of us have a hard time even tithing, much less giving above a tithe. Most of us are not real good witnesses. We don't hardly talk to even our family or anybody around us, do we? Unless it's sort of pressed upon us. Most of us don't have those spiritual goals, but that's what he's talking about right here. He's talking about spiritual goals. There is a mark up there. It's the top of the line. It's way up there on the mountain. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. I'm not even sure I understand all that. But I know it's big. I know it's tremendous. I know it would literally transform your life. You couldn't stay the same. You could not stay the same. And so many things that are so important to you this week, this year, wouldn't even matter. You would not even be worried about them. They'd just be losing the hubcap. Losing the hubcap to keep you up all night. I was talking to Mr. Jones. Mark got that beautiful new car and somebody hit him. I mean, and I do feel sorry for people like that. Yes, I do. But I have a lot of fun out of it too. But I was telling him about, I bought a brand new Oldsmobile. Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, goodness, I loved it. Oh, brand new Oldsmobile. Went out here to the Methodist hospital to visit one of the church members that was in the hospital. Coming out of the hospital, I going in to get on the expressway, and there was a lane for the lady in front of me in her Cadillac, but a big truck was coming down the lane next to her, and it scared her, and she just jumped on her brakes. And I'm looking back to see if I can get in, and I hit her. My new car is a month old, and a dump truck hit me in the rear. I had an accordion vehicle that was 1 month old. Now, boy, that takes the new off of it really quick. I mean, something happened to the new. But I was able to drive that car. I drove it 175,000 miles. So I guess it lets you drive them a little bit better if, you know, you're driving a wreck. But some of these things, as bad as they get to us, they don't matter. They really don't matter. In the scheme of things, God's laughing. Like your daddy laughed at a few things you did. And like you've laughed at your kids about some of the things that have got them so upset. I remember the story of my sister. She wanted some attention. She was not getting enough attention. And my mother saw her through the window take a big rock and put it on her toe and start to cry. Now, you never did anything like that, did you? No. Yeah, you did too. But it was so funny because she saw her do it, you know. She's looking through the window, and she's out there. She's not getting enough attention. She wants some attention. She puts this rock on her toe and begins to cry because the rock's on her toe. Wanting some attention, you know. Well, you know, that's not really all that important. You're liable to get a spanking trying to get attention that way, you know. Are you going to get made fun of or something like that? And we've all done stupid things like that because we're concentrating on that which is not important. How long are you going to be in heaven? A long time. I've already lived a long time. No matter, I've lived a long time. And you know what? It's happened pretty fast. I mean quickly. Quickly, it happened. And I'm going to live in heaven 10,000 years with no night, no sin, no sorrow, no pain, no crying. And I'm going to be there with everybody that gets saved. Everybody calls on the name of the Lord. Everybody that gets forgiven. The good ones and the bad ones. There are good ones and bad ones that get saved. They're going to be Supreme Court justices in hell. And they're going to be death row murderers in heaven. Oh, be real careful. Be real careful in the judgments that you make, my friend. Because we may be looking at the wrong things. He said, I have set my mark. There's a mark of a high thing out there. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The kind of clothes you wear doesn't have anything to do with it. Modesty, of course. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about whether you're wearing a pair of pants that cost you $700 or $2 at Goodwill. Makes no difference in this high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Whether you're accepted by somebody in a certain crowd or a certain group, doesn't have any. People, there's kids right now, high school kids right now, that are crying themselves to sleep at night because they're not in some group. Christians. And they're crying themselves to sleep because they're not accepted by somebody. Somebody's put them down. I mean, like Don does to me all the time. I mean, you know. He says it's a lot of fun. What about raising our sights? How about taking a look at all the things that bother us, that really have us upset, and lifting our sights towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? There's something a lot more important than most of what you're worried about. That's true. Now notice what he says about it in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as will be perfect, and that means you've been saved and you've been made perfect in the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All right, that's all of us that are Christians. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. It's not just Paul that's supposed to have this goal. You and I are supposed to have this goal too. It's not just some spiritual giant who is a writer of the Word of God. Not just some great missionary that would say, give me Bithynia. Give me Asia. I mean, the man asked for some big gold. And God said, well, why don't you come over here to Macedonia, Philippi, and we'll see what we can do for you. Not just a guy like that, but how about as every one of us that's a born-again believer be thus minded? Every once in a while, some of the Christians will feel like we preach towards too high a goal. I don't think we ever get high enough. I've had people say, well, it's too hard to be a member of your church. You're always pushing us to come, pushing us to give more, pushing us to go out, pushing us somewhere, picking on our dresses, picking on the way, you know, all you guys with tattoos. God said, don't mark your body up. They say, well, you got a tattoo. Yeah, I got it when I was 14 and lost. There is a difference. Don't mark your body up. And all you people that are running holes through your body, good night. You know, you got all sorts of stuff, fish hooks in your mouth and things through your nose and nipple screens or something like that, you know. Belly button, you know, all this stuff like that. On your tongue, cut a hole in your tongue so you can put a piece of metal in there. Come on. Come on, Christian young people, get your sights up a little bit. Amen. You don't want to be like the stupid people. Amen. You want to have a goal like a Christian. Amen. And those of you, by the way, those of you that are looking for those messed up jeans, you seen these jeans? I tell you what, I found them. I found them and they're cheap. I went out to the South Side. That's where I was raised, on the South Side. And I went, hey, praise God for the South Side. And so I went out there and I was waiting on Trinidad because we were making a visit together. And so when I went to visit Clara Lee in the hospital, it only took me 30 minutes to get in instead of an hour and a half, which I figured, so I had an hour and a half to kill. So I went out to the Penny's out there. And I'm looking for a comfortable chair, so I went into the furniture department and tried out their loungers. You know, I'm a big spender. I didn't buy one, but I tried them out. And as I'm walking along, there are stacks of these jeans, which, you know, they've run tires over and slit them and ironed them and burned them, and boy, they're neat. They had them for $19.99. By the thousands. Now, That's where you want to go, kids, if you want to buy one like that. If you really want to dress that way. I just thought that was fun. Get your eyes up off of the standards of this modern stupid world. This world is stupid. This world is denying God in every area of it. When I was a young man, even lost people had a morality. They had a Bible morality. Even though they might not have said they even believed the Bible, they would deny that they were a Christian. Stand up to say, no, I don't believe. And yet they had a morality about them. And the things that are going on today, what they're calling normal behavior, such as two people living in fornication, or homosexuals, male or female. Well, let's celebrate these two females getting pregnant. I don't know how they did that. Must have been something artificial, because that ain't natural. Well, they're going to have a baby, and the baby's going to be wonderful. It's going to have two mothers and no fathers. Come on, come on. I've even read now they're going to have to, in California, they're trying to pass a law to teach homosexuality as a normal thing in the school. It has to be taught. Just like evolution has to be taught. And there's even some that are pushing that incest in the family where the father teaches his daughter about sexual love by experience. And that's all right. This place is going to hell. And it's going to hell really quick. And you shouldn't want to dress like them. You shouldn't want to talk like them. You shouldn't want to look like them. You shouldn't want to act like them. Get your eyes up. Take a look at your Bible every once in a while. Lift your vision. Look at the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said all of us ought to be there. As many as be perfect. As many as be righteous in Jesus Christ. As many as be born again, you ought to have a higher vision. You ought to have a higher goal. You ought to do more than you do. And you shouldn't be picking on a preacher or somebody else who gives you a rebuke. You ought to thank God there's somebody around to rebuke you. Because bless your heart, there aren't many. That's the gospel truth. He said, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. He says, okay, I realize God may have a different plan for some of you. And if he's got a different plan for you, you follow God. You follow God. He said, all of us ought to be aiming for this goal. And if God leads you another direction, there was a prophet. And God told him to marry a wife of whoredoms. Boy, I'm glad God didn't tell me that. I'm glad I got the little girl I got 51 years ago. He didn't ask me to do things like that. Now, God may ask you to do some real peculiar things. He never asked me to sacrifice my sons. He did Abraham. Jonah, bless his heart, the reluctant evangelist. Greatest revival in history is by a man who did not want to preach. It's by a man that did not want these people to be saved, the Ninevites to be saved. In fact, that's what made him mad, was because God saved him. He has the greatest revival in history, and he's mad at God because of it. Now, see, there's some strange things that happen. And God has a reason for a lot of these things. But on the whole, on the average, for the Christian, the idea ought to be, there's a higher goal out there. There's a mark that we ought to be reaching. It's a spiritual mark. And this world is not all that important. Look at verse 17. No, verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. All right, suppose that all of the church isn't up here going for this high goal. Well, how far are you better than what you were? Some of you, maybe some older Christian in the church might say, well, you haven't come very far. I mean, you need to really get on the ball. You need to think something different. But what are you now that you weren't before you got saved? Any change in you?
Amen.
If there had been no change in you, the chances are you got a good dose of religion, but you didn't get salvation. Because in my experience, when Jesus saves somebody, He changes them. At first, it's in the mind. You all of a sudden think different. You believe some things you couldn't believe before. You start doing some things you couldn't do before. You know, some of the things I hated before I got saved, then I loved. And some of the things that I loved when I was lost, after I got saved, I hated. God makes a change in your life. All right, have you been changed? Okay, so you're not an evangelist like Billy Graham. You're not a missionary like Brent Riggs. You're not somebody over here, right here, but you're just over here. Have you made some progress? Well, don't lose it. If you've attained up this right here, well, let's maintain where you are. Take that step. Don't get discouraged just because you haven't got up here where somebody else is. What have you done? What has God done in your life? Has He brought you through a victory? Has He given you something and you're on this level? Maybe step two or three. You're not up on the top of the mountain. You're just on step two or three, but you're not back where you were. Thank God for where you are and go from there. Now, I know sometimes we get discouraged because we set ourselves high goals. We expect more of ourselves than what we're going to do or get. Well, don't get so discouraged that you end up not appreciating what God has already done in you. And by the way, not all of us are going to be able to do everything. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same opportunities. We don't all have the same life. We're going to have a different life. You've got some struggles you're going to go through that nobody around you is going to go through. You got some things that are going to slap you in the face and just jump up in life at you just like you can't stop having a wreck, somebody running a red light and hitting you. The most safe defensive driver in the country cannot protect himself from every situation. And by the way, you can exercise and eat right and not smoke and drink and die at 30. You don't have a control over a lot of things that come in your life. What do? Take what God has given you right now, appreciate it, thank Him for the change He's brought in your life, thank Him for what He's done for you, and reach a little higher.
Amen.
Go for something else. So He says, nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Another thing... We need to be like-minded. We need to come to the place that we appreciate the changes that God has done in our lives. And we need to appreciate that all of us are different. Every one of us is at a different level spiritually in this room. We're at a different level mentally. We're at a different level physically. We're different ages. Look at all the different ages in here. Some of us are the South Side. Some of us are rich kids from the North Side. Some of us, you know... We're actually Yankees that have got to Texas as quick as you could. But all of these differences that we have, come on, let's have some like-mindedness in the church. Let's be for spiritual things. Let's be for the preaching of the gospel. Let's be for the spread of the word of God. Let's be for evangelism. Let's be for missions. Let's get behind it. Push it. Give. I had a man call me yesterday. Actually, he was calling Billy, but he got me. And he wanted me to join this group. I said, I like your group, but I'm not a joiner. I'm sorry. I like your group. I'm for you. But I'm not going to send you any money, and I'm not going to join your group, and I'm not going to attend any meetings, and I'm not going to sign anything. I'm sorry. Do you know why? I'm that way. I made a commitment just about 49 years ago that God had to come first. I'm not going to spend my time pushing a lot of other worldly things. They may be good. You know what I've done for 49 years? I've tried to promote the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I've tried to preach the gospel. I've tried to win souls. I've tried to build churches. I've tried to support the work of God. I told my wife, and some of you teachers may get upset at me, and if you're an administrator, you might. Even as a teacher, I said, join the PTA, but don't ever go. I know this is terrible, it's on tape. I mean, you know, they're going to get me for that. I said, pay them the money. If they want a cake, send them a cake. But all those women down there at the PTA meeting, they're going to stand up for your kids. They are. They're going to fuss and fight and growl and scratch. But they can't win souls, and you can. If you got any time, knock on some doors. If you got any time, put it into the gospel. If you got any time, put it into the church. Because that comes first in my mind. And so I'm not a joiner of a whole lot of other things. Some things I think that are very good. I'm not going to spend my time doing that. I'm for them. I'm glad they're doing what they're doing. But there are not enough people doing what I'm doing. There are not enough people witnessing. There are not enough people giving. There are not enough people supporting. There are not enough people faithful. There are not enough people that will commit themselves to every meeting of the church. That's what I'm doing. That's what my wife did. And boy, she's a quiet woman. She's not here today. She's sick as a dog. Some bug come flying through the house. I hope it doesn't land on me. I don't like what I see in her. So I'm staying a little bit away. Honey, I love you, but at a distance. But you know something? That little woman take her Bible and eat a Bible scholar's lunch. She's tough as nails when it comes to the Word of God. Now, you might have to just get her started. She's not the boldest. In fact, those of you that know her well, you got to talk to her. She's a good listener. But she doesn't carry many conversations, you know. She listens and she's polite and she's sweet, but she's not a big talker. You want a talker, get my Linda or my Susanna. Now, they can handle their own with all of you that talk. Of course, I don't know that they can beat any of the West girls. They are the talkingest things that you've ever met. What I'm saying is, get a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ where you are and do the best you can to live up to it. We all ought to be in agreement on that. Now, there are a lot of people that aren't going to like this church if that's the way we are. And that's all right by me. I told you a long time ago, I was not running a nursery. Now, I know I have to change some diapers every so often and put bottles in people's mouths, but I'm not running a nursery. I'm running a boot camp. I've been looking for soldiers. I'm looking for Marine snipers to go behind the line and grab some souls out of the devil's hand. I'm looking for missionaries and preachers and somebody who will take the word and pass it on. Somebody I can spend my time teaching it to, and they don't run off and quit and get mad and blow up. They keep on going when the going gets tough. So we ought to get agreement on some things. Let's get some agreement on some of our goals. We want to go further than what we are. And where we've attained, don't step back because something discourages you. Don't step back because Satan throws a monkey wrench into your plans and hurts you big, because that's exactly what the devil wants to do. Satan wants to hurt you. Hurt feelings are the biggest damage to the church I know. Not big sin. Yeah, there's big sin, and sometimes it hurts a lot. But you know, the biggest problem is stupid people and hurt feelings. I'm supposed to hurt your feelings. Have you ever figured that out? My job is to hurt your feelings. My job is not to pat you on the butt and powder you and give you a new diaper and say, bless your little heart. You put the rock on your foot. Oh, bless your little heart. No. My job is to provoke you to love and good works. My job is to provoke you to think and provoke you to do. And if I don't do my job, I'm going to answer for it one of these days, and it'll be 10 million years. I won't have a chance to do it right. Get committed to the church. Get committed to the work of the church. Get committed to evangelism. Get committed to missions. Get committed to giving. You spend so much money on everything that is worthless. And I don't mind you having them. God doesn't mind you having all these things. I've got way too much. But some of you don't give enough. That's the truth. You're not committed. You're more committed and you say, well, look at you, who you talk about. Yeah, I'm committed to this belly. I have put millions into this thing. Maybe hundreds of thousands. Well, let me tell you what. It's after I've already given to the Lord's work.
Amen.
You need to be a good giver. You ought to be a witness somehow. You ought to be praying, God. Some of you that are really quiet, you ought to be praying, God, open a door for me.
Amen. Amen.
Just bring somebody to Him. Lord, I'm not bold enough to do this or that, but God, why don't you just open a door for me?
Amen.
I'm amazed at the doors God opens.
Completely
unexpected. All right, nevertheless, we're into we've already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now he makes another statement here. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. He said, take a look around. You see anybody that looks like me? Mark him. Boy, put something on his head. I want to be able to recognize that guy next time I see him. I want to be able to know. I want to watch what he does. Mark him. Is he walking like Paul? Does he have the same goals as Paul? I mean, is this man committed? Mark him and follow him. Everybody can't follow Paul. When I was a young preacher, I used to wish I could go to one of these big, powerful preachers and just sit under him for a year. Just sit under him for a year. Just let me just walk with him. I want to know how he thinks. I want to know how he builds his sermons. I want to know how he reads his Bible. I want to know how he witnesses. I want to know how he meets challenges. I want to know how he treats his kids and his wife. If I could just get close to him. Paul says, look around. See if you can find one like that. Can you find an example? Got somebody that's got my same goals, my same pattern? Mark him and follow him. Every once in a while, one of these kids will tell me, I'm my own man. I don't follow nobody. Yeah, right. All of us follow people. You're an original thinker? No. 75%, 80% of what you think or say came from somebody else. You heard it. You heard it, you read it, you saw it. Don't be so proud. Find somebody worth following and follow. Find somebody that is an example. And you try to be somewhat like them. You know the problem with most of us? When we copy something from somebody, we copy the wrong things. It's the truth. There was this song leader, Southern Baptist Seminary. He had these two fingers cut off. I don't know how the accident happened or what had happened. Those two fingers were cut off. So the hand looked like this when he's leading singing. There was a whole generation of song leaders went through that seminary that came out holding their two fingers in like this to lead singing. Sometimes you copy the wrong things. You don't have to hold your fingers down just because this guy was good. You know, this guy's real good. You think, oh boy, I want that look, you know. No, don't copy the stupid things. Figure out the spiritual things. Figure out the things that make for a success. Figure out the things that make for somebody spiritual. Figure out what do they do? Verlene, I got saved. Verlene was already saved, but she wasn't very well grown in the Lord. But she was saved. I got saved, and Verlene and I began to go to church for everything. We made a commitment. That's it. We saved so much money, we didn't even miss the tithe that we gave the first month. We're making $196.30 a month. Wife and one kid, another one on the way. That was living off base. Didn't even have a checking account. Dropped a $20 bill in the plate as it was passed. The first month I got saved. Didn't know how I was going to make it. We went to church for everything. Everything. It became our entertainment. It still is. Some of you lazy bums lay on your butts in front of a television every day and every night, and some of you just work to make a living. But hey, how about getting committed to the church?
Amen.
How about saying some things are worth sacrificing for? Man, it changed our life. And you know, we come down this long a time, good night. I wouldn't trade places with anybody I know.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade places with anybody I know. I didn't make as much money as a lot of people made. But my, what a blessing my life has been to me. And I think it was a blessing to my children. And I hope it'll be to my grandchildren. How about getting a commitment? How about reaching for something bigger than what you've been reaching for? Don't lose what you've gained. Don't depreciate what God has already done, even though it may seem small in your eyes. But get your eyes on something more spiritual, because you are a spiritual being even more than you are a physical being. Now, that's hard for us to understand. I got this body. I'm imprisoned in this body. You may not like it, but I'm pretty happy with it. But I'm imprisoned in this body. I am a spiritual being with goals that I cannot reach, and with hindrances all around me with this body and what living in this flesh. But, oh, my friend, in a very short time, I'm going to be free. And I'm going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! You think I'm loud now? Well, you hear me then. Woo, it's going to be good.
Amen.
And that's what you are. Recognize that you're more spiritual than you are physical.
Amen.
You're more alive spiritually than you are physically. And start feeding on one or the other.
Amen.
One old preacher was asked one time, says, how do you get spiritual? He said, well, you got a white dog that's good inside you, and you got a black dog that's bad inside you, and it's whichever dog you feed the most. Gets the strongest and kills the other one. How about feeding your spiritual side? Making the spiritual side strong. Putting out an effort to do it. He said, you find somebody, marking, somebody like me, and marking, and following. Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. Now look at verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He's talking about people in the church, my brother. He's talking about people in the church. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. They don't want to pay any prices. Nothing costs them. If it's going to cost them some time, some money, some trouble, or some friends, They're not going to stand with you. They can't take it. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. You know what a cross is? You know what a cross is? It's a very horrible suffering death. It's a suffering death that just absolutely one of the most horrible you can imagine. And Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. It means die to yourself.
Amen.
It means die to your sensual pleasures. That doesn't mean you give them all up, but it does mean that you put the spiritual first. Now, if you just quit eating, you wouldn't have but a 40-day ministry. If you quit drinking water, well, you wouldn't have but about a 3-day ministry. You might go 5, some of you. So you have to eat and drink, and you have to clothe yourself or we'll run you into jail. But man, put them where they're supposed to be. Think about these things. Enemies, how would you like that Paul is talking about you when he talks about an enemy of the cross of Christ? Well, let's see how he describes them. Look at the next verse. Whose end is destruction. Whose God is their belly. Whose glory is in their shame. Who mind earthly things. Not everybody that's a member of a church or teaches Sunday school or even preaches the gospel or attends a church on a regular basis is going to end up in heaven. It's not your works, but works are a fruit of your life. Works are something you can examine. Now take a look at this. Whose end is destruction. He said, these guys ain't making it. They're not making it. Their end is destruction. Now the enemy is the cross of Christ. Whose God is their belly. They don't get past their belly. Isn't that something? What a shame. What's he saying? He's saying these people live by their physical desires all. They don't have a spiritual bone in their body. They live by their spiritual desires. Whose God is their belly. Whose glory is in their shame. Have you heard people talk about the way they live?
Yes.
And they glory in it.
That's true.
Exactly.
And they got a lifestyle that ought to embarrass a barkeeper.
True.
But they brag on it. Yeah. I'm this, I'm that. Boy, we do this, we do that. We don't do what they do. We don't do it. They brag on it. They glory in their wickedness. They glory in what they ought to be ashamed of. They ought to be embarrassed to have to admit they live the way they live because they're living like dogs. But they glory in the way they live. Oh, they're free thinkers. Oh, they've been turned loose. They've been set free. Many a young person buys into this. What a shame. Take a look at them 10 or 15 years down the line. Just look at them 10 or 15 years down the line. Is their life blessed? No, it's not. But even if it was, it wouldn't be worth it. He says, who mind earthly things. Let me ask you, what is your mind on? That's what I've been talking about all morning. Who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven.
Amen.
From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord's coming.
Amen.
I look around and I don't see how we could go much further, and yet I've been wrong before, so I got to cut out my predictions. I'm not the prophet nor the son of a prophet. And I know that. But buddy, this world is really in a mess. And this generation, if they don't hear some good old-fashioned gospel preaching, is in a mess. And you're fighting for your children's lives and their future right now. You better do everything you possibly can to give them all that you can give them. Because everything around them is pulling them the other direction. You're fighting almost a losing body battle. I'm looking for the Savior. The Lord Jesus. Now, I'm getting old enough that I may go to see Him before He comes back. But I might not. Said He's going to come as a thief in the night. Did you ever have a thief call you up and say, Mr. Dalross, I decided I'm going to steal something from you this week. Now, I want you to leave home and go into church because that's when I'm going to hit you. No, he wouldn't do that. Because old Don, as worldly as he is, he'd sit home with that gun. And they would sure wish they hadn't let him know they were coming. A thief doesn't tell you when he's going to come. He does not want to confront you. He does not want to have you resist him. He wants to get something easy. I tell you what the Lord's doing. He's going to come when you're not expecting him. When the world's not expecting him. He's going to drop in and say, it's time, come on. That's the way death happens many times. Do you know that? Now some people, they get cancer, heart trouble, diabetes, and they know they're going to die. And they give them 2 months, 6 months, 2 years, and the doctors are doing guesswork, so maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong. And we always find out that every once in a while they hit it right on the money, and other times they're just wrong as wrong can be. But let me tell you something. The Lord's coming when you're not expecting Him. So the day when somebody writes 88 reasons why Jesus is coming in 1988, you know Jesus is not going to come in 1988 because somebody done wrote a book saying that. He's not going to come when you're expecting Him. Some idiot just wrote that book to make some money. And you were an idiot if you bought it. And believed it. Because you're not going to know. Nobody's going to know. He's going to catch us all by surprise. He's going to catch the spiritual by surprise. He's going to catch the world by surprise. He's going to catch them that love Him by surprise. And those that don't really want to see Him because they want to keep filling their belly. But He's coming.
Amen.
We look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's He going to do for us? And I don't have time. But I'll start again next week.
Amen.
Somewhere along these verses. God bless you.